Monday, the 15th of August, 2004, the Sunday night speakers meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. Anonymous, welcome to our first speaker, Sophia.
All right, Sophia.
Hi, my name is Sophia and I'm an addict. You're going to freak me out. You're going to throw me off. Okay, so I have 35 minutes, right?
30-35.
Okay. Jim, thank you for asking me to speak tonight and for finally being able to make it, because it's Sunday and a lot of what I do now is I'm involved in a lot of service now, so a lot of service commitments, a lot of stuff goes on Sundays, so it's hard for me to... It was hard for me to make it out here, but I made it now. And you know, I was downstairs and I was walking around, and it was so funny because we were in the homeopathic section, you know, and we were looking. I don't know, maybe you guys have walked around before the meeting to kill some time, but you know, they had all these pills for. They had this homeopathic. I mean, there must have been like 150 different kind of pills for different kinds of ailments for people. You know, it was like. Runny nose with the white discharge, runny nose with the yellow discharge. It was just all these like different things, and it was like anxiety from overwork, staring at the computer too long, you know. And I was like looking for one. Okay, where's the one on drug addiction? You know, like okay, hooked on drugs. This will cure you. And then we went into the other aisle, and they had Serenity in a bottle. That's what it was called, Serenity. And I was just like, you know, if it could be that easy, that's great. You know, if we could just like. And we were cured and no longer addicted, but that's not my story. So I guess I'll just talk a little bit about my story. You know, just like you guys, the one thing that we all have in common here is that we use drugs. At least I know I did, and I'm thinking that most of the people in this room did, had a drug problem and ended up here where the winners end up, right? Right. So, you know, I could, you know, talk a lot about my using and all that stuff, and just know that, you know, I use, and I never wanted to stop, and when I was using, I used to wonder how people got up in the morning and functioned without doing something, you know, it's like, it was like, I thought I was like living in a bubble, and that the whole world was a farce of some sort, you know, it's like, no way, everyone's got to do something, you know, because I guess I just lack the energy, I don't know. I don't know, we can always sit here and talk about, like, the whys and the history, our family history and the dysfunctional upbringings we had that all ended up, you know, made us end up using drugs to escape whatever pain we were suffering from. And in a way, I guess that was kind of true for me. I just really liked getting high, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. I like getting high. It's just that eventually it took its toll, and everything and all I did was about getting high and getting up in the morning. And if I got up that morning, I might have been up a few days. I don't know. That's what it was about for me. And I never even thought I had a problem. You know, my problem was that I couldn't get more. That was my problem. And towards the end of my using, I knew that. It wasn't the same as it was in the beginning, you know, it was pretty much, it was very painful. My daily existence was very painful. And at that point, you know, it's like, it was just a vicious circle, you know. The drugs relieve the pain and then cause the pain and relieve the pain and cause the pain all over again. Until it's just like my body just kind of went out on me. And I ended up in a rehab, and that's where I had found out about Narcotics Anonymous, and I didn't know about a 12-step program. I didn't know there was anything out there. I didn't know there was a place for people like me to go to, you know, and then even when I found it, I wasn't even sure about it. You know, I was like, yeah, I'll go check out these Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and I went to the panel, and thank goodness for H&I, because, you know, that's how the message came to me. And, you know, sitting in the meetings, and I remember my first NA meeting, sitting at, like, you know, like it was like the cafeteria of the rehab, and people were gathered around. It was maybe, you know, 5-6 people, and I was just sitting there, and the only reading that I remembered was, we are under no surveillance at any time, because, you know, at that point, I was just like, you know, if someone, like, these people are here, and they're talking about their drug use, and there's got to be someone here, like, keeping notes of what they did, you know, and they're going to get in trouble later. And the other thing I remember about it was that, you know what, these people, they say they use drugs like I did. So, you know, it's like I had an instant connection and an instant home. Now, whether I choose to use that, you know, NA as a place to save me took me a while. I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in 1990. I have 10 years clean, so if you do the math, you figure out that I didn't get it at my first meeting. And I would return to meetings, and the thing about going to meetings, you know, just getting out of rehab and you meet all these people and you know, everyone used to use and now they're not using, and are you using? Should we go use? I don't know. Are we really into this thing? Are we not into it? Am I into it? Who are these people? You know, they're looking at me. I'm not comfortable. The women are not talking to me. I just pretty much separated and alienated myself from Narcotics Anonymous from the very beginning. So even though I knew that that was where I belonged, I still fought it. And I would go back and I would hang out with all my old friends. And, you know, I hear a lot of people share about that at meetings, especially a lot of younger people share about at meetings that, you know, it's like when you're younger, it's like it's all about your friends and your peers and hanging out with them and trying to get, you know, feel a part of. And so, you know, I instantly went right back to hanging out with my friends. And I wasn't using, but I was caught in this real weird and uncomfortable place. So I would try to hang out with these new friends and go to these NA meetings, but again, like I said, all this step stuff, I didn't even hear it, you know? Like, the readings, it just was like, it was that wah, 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 wah stuff, you know? And I just wasn't ready, you know? But what that period of time offered me was the, you know, it's like, here's Narcotics Anonymous, and when you're ready, we'll be here for you. And basically, you know, I went off on my merry way and ended up hanging out with my old friends again and ended up using because I wanted to feel a part of. And, you know, and it was the whole alcohol is not a drug, so let me just get drunk with everybody. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and there you go. So when I was ready to get this thing, you know, it was just so, I was just emotionally broke, because when I first came into the program, I came in here broke, like I didn't have a place to live and do it. I mean, I had gone through not having places to live and not having a car and then having a car and then living in my car. And, you know, just that whole thing of, you know, where am I going to get my next bag? And, you know, just the unknown and must get more. But when I came back this last time, it was more about the emotional emptiness, that void, you know, and I was trying to fill that void with other things. I had white knuckled it for a year on my own, and then, you know, relationship, and it just didn't go my way, and so I was just emotionally, I was pretty fucked up. And at that point, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to use, but I'm going to kill myself, you know. I'm going to kill myself, or I'm going to go to this NA thing, and I'm going to give it a shot, you know. And it's like the minute I made that decision in my heart, it's like all the people from NA were around me, you know. It was just like, you know, meeting people, like, yeah, I got to go, and, you know, I met this guy, yeah, NA tattooed on his arm, you know. I'm like, hey, I want to go to a meeting, you know. It's like, to me, that's the kind of stuff that, to me, proved that I did have a higher power working in my life. And at that point, I had a higher power. I just didn't really know my higher power yet. And I had people, you know, bring me to meetings, and I was still trying to separate myself, and I was still going, I don't want to go out with you guys afterwards, you know, fellowship, and who are these people, and I'm just going to sit here and drink my tea, and I don't want to talk to anybody. But at the same time, I just kind of put one foot in front of the other, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back. And I got a sponsor, like they said, you know, and I still have the same sponsor. And she lives in Phoenix, and I'm in L.A., but I got clean in San Diego, so that's where we started out. And if it ain't broke, why fix it, you know? So for me, it's still working. I have a great relationship with my sponsor. And at that time, I was so desperate and so willing to do whatever she said. If she said, you know, go down, go do cartwheels, go do somersault, that's going to keep you clean, I would have been, yeah, okay, sure. I'll do that, because everything I've known, my own information, has got me here to this point of total pain, once again. So, finally, I had begun to open my mind and started actually listening to the readings at the meetings, and was at the meeting from prayer to prayer. And, yeah, I would be uncomfortable during the breaks, but I just stuck it out and started doing step work with my sponsor. And in starting to do my step work with my sponsor, I was introduced to the higher power. Like, I was finally introduced to the higher power that I have today, not the higher power that I had been brought up with. Let's just say that. You know, Narcotics Anonymous is not a religious program, and thank my higher power for that, okay? Because it doesn't mean that you cannot be religious. It just means that here we just don't talk about that. You know, you can have your own personal spiritual beliefs, but here we all have one thing in common, is that we all have a higher power. And for those that have not gotten the higher power yet or are agnostic, use the meeting as your higher power. Use the fellowship as your higher power. I'm not going to suggest the doorknob, but some people might want to do that. I don't know. But I was introduced to my higher power, and I've had this relationship with my higher power for the last 10 years, and it's, you know, up and down. And it definitely has been growing. And it's, like I said, you know, as soon as I made the decision in my heart to come to Narcotics Anonymous and actually really participate in my own personal recovery, that was like proof to me, you know, I met all these people, and boom, proof to me that my higher power was right there for me when I needed, when I was ready. Some other stuff I want to talk about too is like the fellowship. When I had first come here, a lot of women can relate, is that, you know, I just didn't really hang out with the women. I hung out with all the men. And, you know, the way that I got my sponsor is one of the, you know, guys I was hanging out with. It's like, you got to, you know, meet this girl. And she was one of the girls hanging out with all the guys, too. And so, of course, you know, we definitely clicked together, you know, and that's what we get along for. I don't know. But I was very fortunate for that. But it was having the first relationship with my sponsor and having the first real deep relationship with a woman kind of was, again, proof to me that, you know what, I can have relationships with women and I can get really tight with women. And now, you know, fast forward these many years, it's like, that's all I hang out with, you know, it's like, it's all women, and it's totally like, da, 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 da. We get around each other, and we talk, da, 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 da. And all the women that I hang out with now are all involved in service. Pretty much everyone that I hang out with is involved in service, has a sponsor, and if they don't have a sponsor, we're going to call them on that. It's like, we know all of each other's business. It's very, it's like a family, you know, and it's like, I would have never thought that. Because in the first few years of coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I still was kind of like, go to my meetings, check out, and then go start getting my life in order. You know, I went back to school, and I started to get my career going, and I was really involved in all that stuff. And I wasn't involved in any service. I would just go to meetings and leave and work with my sponsor. So I was doing my step work, but I really wasn't like taking in everything that this program had to offer. And you know, everything just happens the way it's supposed to happen, you know. Over the years, I don't know, I thought, you know, I don't know, I get to a certain point in your recovery and you think you just know it all and you've got it all down, and then stuff happens to you and you get your legs kicked out from underneath you and you realize that, you know what, you really don't know everything, and that you can have this much time, and you can have worked the steps, you know, so many times, and life is still going to happen. And that's another beauty of this program, is it teaches me how to just exist in my life and accept the stuff that happens. As far as, like, you know, I have no big major drama in my life today. You know what? But if I was maybe a year clean or maybe less, the stuff that I have to deal with in my life today could have been perceived as a major drama at that time in my life. You know, the stuff that I go through today and the stuff that I have to deal with, it's just part of life. And I just go, okay, what is it, let's deal with it and check it off the list and get it done with, you know? Whereas earlier in my recovery, I would have been all, oh my God, I got this going on, I got that, I can't, you know, like everything would have just been a big drama. And now it's like, I have that serenity in a bottle, except that, you know, I have it serenity in a meeting, you know, and I have serenity in a program, and I have serenity in a higher power, and I have serenity in the fellowship. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, I have all this stuff in NA and I just, like, walk on water, because I don't. You know, there's definitely times where I struggle. I struggle to just get out of bed in the morning, you know? Sometimes it's that hard. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I have that voice. I still have my addiction talking to me. You know, and my addiction wants me. And so it's like there's the positive path and there's the negative path. And my addiction wants me to go down the negative path. So my addiction tells me, yesterday's just for today, talk about limitations. My addiction will tell me that, you know, you're not good enough and you can't do it and you'll never succeed here and you'll never be good enough here. And once I start listening to that voice, I start going down that path. I start going down that path. And if I keep listening to it, my belief is that, you know, I'll end up using. So, like, I come to NA, and I come to meetings. So what's great is I come to meetings, and I can listen to other people's problems and go, oh, my God, my life's great. Thank God, you know, and be grateful. And I can also learn from other people's mistakes in the program, too, and not have to experience that stuff for myself, but use their experiences. I go, okay, well, you know, so-and-so said this happened to them, and if it happens to me, I'm going to, you know, either, you know what's great about this program, too, it's like, it's like we all have each other to talk to, like the meeting after the meeting. We can go, we can like do the one-on-one thing or two-on-three or whatever and have these great conversations about life and our experiences that maybe we don't have in the meeting. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of you guys don't really know me that well, but other people know me. And, you know, sure, I'm not always in the meeting from prayer. I like to go outside and talk shit, you know, sometimes and hang out and whatever and yell at people across the room and spit watch and have a good time. You know, I also come to Narcotics Anonymous not to just be like here like I'm a nun or anything. No, I come here because I want to have a good time too. And a lot of my friends, like I said, a lot of the women I hang out with, they're just as loud and noisy as I am. And that's great because we all get along and when we get together, we cat. And that's what I need. You know, I need a place to go where I feel like I'm a part of. I mean, and the other thing about Narcotics Anonymous is I've gone to meetings all over the world. And as soon as I've stepped in the door of a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I have always been welcomed and I've always felt at home. Language barriers, it doesn't even matter. I'm Greek and I had gone to a meeting in Greece and you know, my Greek's not that great and some of the words I don't understand. But, you know, I went to this meeting, showed up, and they were just like, okay, you're the speaker, you know? As soon as I walk in, I'm like, ah, great. So, like, I had, okay, I can try to make out some of these words, and then I got to have, someone to help me on the side, interpreter of sorts, you know, and I would speak in Greek and broken, you know, broken Greek and some English, and it's like, I could look around the room and everybody smokes. Everybody smokes. And it's no non-smoking either. But I looked around the meeting and people were just like, you know, shaking their heads and just going, yeah, and relating, you know. And then after I spoke and people came up to me and just like, oh, I totally related to what, you know, they didn't say it like that. But you know, I'm trying to like, what? Where did they say? What was that? Some of the big words I didn't understand. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, go to a meeting in a different country, you know. Chris and I have gone to meetings in Australia, and I've been to meetings in Canada, and it's like, everybody was so nice. And it's like, I was just amazed. I was just amazed that I could go somewhere. It's like, if I was to go travel anywhere in the world, it's like, I go check out my hotel, whatever, and then just look for where the NA meetings are in that city. Because you go to those NA meetings, and boom, everyone's going to tell you where to go. Everyone's, and they're going to be your tourist guides. I mean, it just goes beyond anything I could have imagined. But I just wanted to say that anywhere in the world where Narcotics Anonymous exists, I know that I'm always home. And I don't know, today, my recovery is just, like I said, I'm involved in a lot of service, and I pretty much enjoy the service that everybody does not enjoy, like the little typing up of guidelines and being on certain ad hoc committees and reviewing policy. That's the kind of stuff that I like. I never would have thought that that's what I would have been into, you know? I would have thought that I would have been secretary of some big meeting, but I'm kind of just shying away from all that. I'm kind of not speaking as much as I did before because I'm just more focused on, I don't know, the details of Narcotics Anonymous, if that makes sense. I also know that I still have to focus on my own personal recovery and still maintain my relationship with my sponsor. You know, having this much time playing doesn't, again, I know from my own experience that I don't know everything and I have to remain teachable. Because I can, you know, based also, the good part is that based on my experience, I know I don't know everything, but then I still have that other voice that's like, oh yeah, you do, you know? And so I'll sit in meetings and I will take people's inventory and I will tell them in my head what I think they should be doing right and what they're doing wrong. But the beautiful thing is I just zipper my mouth and keep that closed and tell everybody to just keep coming back. Just like when I first came around and I was like, oh no, I'm going to sponsor myself. You know, and everyone was just like, keep coming back, you know, what a horrible sponsor, sponsor yourself. So, I don't know, I think that's kind of all I have right now. That's all I have. I just wanted to thank you guys for letting me share. Thank you.